afternoon. We're having a good Bible study here where everybody gets to hear both sides of discussion. It is good to have sermons. We have them a lot. And we can say, well, this person said Baptist. He believes this. Now, that's wrong because of this. But isn't it better to be able to hear the person who actually believes it get up there and defend it and say it? It's a good way to have Bible study. And Jesus and the disciples and the apostles did it all the time. I'm talking about public debate. Leviticus 21, verse 10 says, he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on his garment, shall not uncover his head or rend his clothes. The Jeff said that was referring to, I think he thought it was talking about cutting the hair. If it did, it wouldn't prove anything in this debate because the word for cover there is not a form of caluco. Okay? I don't agree that it is something about cutting the hair there. I thought it was talking about uncovering his head. You know, uncover. Well, you'd think that would be talking about artificial covering. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, Justinius, defined this Hebrew word, number 6544, unbind the head by removing the turban, the sign of mourning. So they thought this word meant remove a turban. Okay? But even if it were talking about cutting the hair, it doesn't have anything to do with our debate because it's not a form of the word caluco. And then Genesis 38:14-15, I will compliment Jeff on bringing out a passage that has parabolaion or a form of it in caluco, a form of it in Septuagint, used interchangeably, and he's correct about this. Right now I can't verify it for sure, but I'm assuming he's correct. I know that verse 15 is a form of caluco, which is covered her face. I just can't verify right now that the word cover in verse 14 is a form of the word parabolaion, but I'm going to assume that it is. Yes?
22.
I first want you to notice, though, that the words are different. Here we have caluco is a noun form of this. Caluco, caluco, cataluco. These are the verb forms of it. Then you have parabolaion and parabolo. Now, I need to go get a chart. I want to read something by Mr. Merrill Unger about whether or not these words could be used interchangeably. Now, he may have an example here where it is used interchangeably. I'll have to go home and check that. Actually, it's Mr. Husso that has the Septuagint, I don't. I'll go home and check it. But Merrill F. Unger, he's just a Greek scholar. He says, no, it is not possible for the Greek verbs of 1 Corinthians 11, 5, chapter 11, verse 5, 16, 13, to be correctly used with the Greek noun parabolaion. Now, he said it's not possible. Now, so, since I cannot verify if what Jeff said is correct, I'm going to assume that he's correct. I consider it likely that he is correct, that this is parabolaion, and, or a form of it, cataclusco, verse 15, Genesis 38. I'll assume he's correct. Now, let's look at the passage. Jeff, is this an artificial covering or a long hair that Tamar has? She put her widow's garments from off her and covered her with a veil. Then it says in verse 15, because she had covered her face. Now, is that talking about long hair or artificial covering? Which one? It's not a form of cataclusco that refers to hair, is it? That's what my argument was, right? Then the Septuagint, you have 84 times where it refers to an artificial covering and a form of caluco. Does not refer to the hair? This is an artificial covering, isn't it? How do you know? How do you know, Jeff? You know for the same reason you know 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5 is an artificial covering, right? So even the verse, even if this is parabolaion and cataclusco used together, and we'll verify that, even if that's so, this still helps my position because everybody here can see it's talking about an artificial covering. How can you know that? Because it's done for an occasion, the same as 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. And then Jeff went to 1 Corinthians 11, put up 45, 13 through 15. And of course, if I had his position, I would camp on verse 15 and 1 Corinthians 11, no doubt about it. It says the hair is given for a cover. But he thinks that 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15 is identifying the covering that is talked about in the earlier part of the passage, and I maintain that's not so. Now here are a couple of these Greek scholars or whatever commenting on the passage. Now I'm not asking you to accept this because they're commentators. I just want you to look at it because I like the way they worded it, okay? They're explaining 1 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. But if this thing knowledge can be shameful, cutting off the hair, let the further decency of the additional covering be continued likewise. That's what this man is saying is the argument of 1 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. Not that he's identifying the covering that is mentioned in the earlier part of the passage, but that he's saying if you're going to take off the one covering, the catafuco covering, then let the additional covering be considered likewise. Notice, that is the mere fact of one sex being by nature unveiled, that is having short hair, the other veil, that is having long hair, this plainly declares that man was intended to be uncovered, woman covered. When therefore we deal with the proprieties of the artificial state of clothing the body, we must be regulated by nature's suggestion. That which she has indicated to be left uncovered, we must so leave. That which she has covered, when we clothe the body, we must cover likewise. Nature gives woman the natural covering. So when it comes to artificial covering, Paul's argument is the same person, the same gender should be covered. You get 15 minutes on this one, right? 47. So this is how I put it, basically, but I don't think it's put it as well as they did. The argument in 1 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 is essentially this. Look, God has given the woman the long hair as a natural covering, not the man. That ought to tell you that when it comes to the artificial or temporary covering, the one that you see when you pray or prophesy, God wants the woman covered, not the man. The question for 1 Corinthians 11, 13, Jeff, is not what is the covering. The question is, should a woman pray uncovered? Paul's answer is no. Paul's answer does not indicate that the long hair is the covering that he's been referring to, but it's an argument in favor of that covering. Just like earlier in the passage, it's a consistency argument. The fact that a woman is permanently covered by nature with the long hair helps us to see the propriety of the woman covering herself with an artificial covering when she prays or prophesies. Now, I want to continue on with my, put up number six now. Six on the cover. There you go. Continue on with my point about the people believing that 1 Corinthians 11 is just a cultural matter. Here's another Christian, what he said about women preachers. It is my opinion that they objected to women preachers because it was a custom of the day for women to remain silent in public assemblies and let their husbands speak for them. And they were offended that some of the Corinthian women were violating this custom. And then he says, I interpret the issue of married women wearing a head covering in the same light. You see, he's saying that the prohibition against women preachers was just a custom. And he says the covering was the same way. Rather than allow the issue to cause disruption within the church, Paul upheld the social custom of the day. It is perfectly proper for churches to expect their members to adhere to societal norms and customs as long as they are not in conflict with God's will, of course. And I think that is exactly the point that Paul was making when he wrote that women should remain silent in the assembly. See, here's a Christian saying that was just a custom. And when he wrote that married women should wear a covering for their heads to show their subjection to their husband. If I'm correct, then the churches need to reconsider whether or not the command for women to keep silent in the assembly is still applicable now that the social conditions regarding the proper conduct of women in public have changed. Greg Castile, February 29, 1996. You see what he's saying? He's saying the prohibition against women preachers is just a cultural custom matter. Therefore, it's okay to let them preach. Today, society has changed. Wasn't that exactly what people like T.G. O'Neill and our brother who was saying, who say that the covering is just a cultural or a custom thing, that it was just that way back then, but we don't have to follow it today? Isn't Mr. O'Neill and others like him saying exactly the same thing as Greg Castile saying about women preachers? And as we pointed out in my last speech, the prohibition against women preachers is based upon the order of creation. Man created first, woman created for the man. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, the reason that women preachers are condemned and prohibited is because Adam was first formed, then Eve. Same argument. If you're going to throw out one because of culture or custom argument, then logically, consistently, you would have to throw out also the prohibition against women preachers. Number 11, I believe. This phrase, praying or prophesying, how could it have been a custom or just a cultural matter of that day? How could it have been just a custom for the women to be covered when they prayed or prophesied? You know, we have these people that quote commentaries that say that it was a custom in Corinth for the women to be covered, but the heathen women. But how could it have been a custom for the heathen women to be covered when they pray or prophesy? Since when do the heathen women pray or prophesy? Do you see the point? As a matter of fact, if you look through all the commentaries that even people like Mr. O'Neill that say it was just a custom or cultural matter, every commentary they line up to say it was just a custom back then, not one of them says it was a custom for the women to wear a covering when they prayed or prophesied.
Not a single one of them. I've never ever seen a scholar or commentator ever say that. Now, some of them will say it was a custom in the town for women to wear in Corinth, for women to wear a covering when they're in public. But Paul doesn't say that a woman ought to wear a covering in public. He says she ought to wear it when she's praying or prophesying. Not all the time in public, and some of the time in private. Just when she's praying or prophesying. Not in public. So none of those commentaries, even the ones that say it was a custom, none of them say it was a custom of what Paul was saying. Paul was saying that the women ought to be covered when they pray or prophesy. And there's never been a commentary written, as far as I know, that said that was the custom in Corinth. Paul's teaching was different than the custom at that time. He said the women ought to wear a covering when they pray or prophesy, and not one scholar ever said that was the custom of the time. Not one. Number 10, God's reasons for the covering. The following is a summary of reasons that the Bible gives for the covering. First of all, headship. Man is the head of woman. He says, because man is the head of woman, the woman ought to wear the covering. Well, is man still the head of woman today? Yes, therefore the woman ought to wear the covering today. What about this? Verses 5b through 6 says, the woman ought to be covered. It's a shame, just like a smaller shaved head. Was it still a shame for a woman to be shaved? It is. Therefore, a woman still ought to be covered when she prays and prophesies today. Another reason for the man not to be covered, the woman to be covered. Man is the image and glory of God, woman the glory of man. Does that fact change? No. Therefore, the covering instruction is still applicable today. The order and purpose of the creation. We've already mentioned that. Has the order and purpose of the creation changed? Of course not. Therefore, the covering instruction is still applicable today. What about verse 10? It says the woman ought to be covered because of the angels. She ought to have a sign of authority on her head. Does that still apply? As far as we know, there's no way for anybody to prove otherwise. Therefore, the covering still applies today, whatever it is. Major teaching about the hair. Do women generally still have longer hair? Yes. Therefore, the covering teaching still applies today. Verse 16 says that they had no practice different than the covering. Covering. Does that still apply today? Of course. None of these reasons are temporary or based on local custom. Every reason that Paul gave for the covering are permanent and still apply today. So the custom or cultural view just won't wash. Paul did not say, wear a covering because you don't want to violate the customs of your time. He said, wear a covering, and he gave all these permanent reasons. Because man is a head of woman, order and purpose of creation, none of those have changed. And so the covering teaching still applies today. Jeff will agree with that. He just disagrees on what that covering is. Now let's get back to the issue at hand tonight, number 73. If the long hair is the only covering in 1 Corinthians 11, I have the following question. Jeff. Now, it's really a summary of what I've already been over. If the hair is the only covering in 1 Corinthians 11, if Paul intends to identify the catechism of covering as the hair in verse 15, why did he use a completely different Greek word? Why? Now, I'm not asking, could he yet? I'll admit, as soon as you're right about Genesis 38, 14, or 15, and I'll assume that you are, I'll admit they could be used interchangeably. I want to know why he would change the word. Not could he change, not could he use both words to refer to the same thing, but why would he change the word? He wanted to identify the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5 through 13. In verse 15, why would he switch Greek words? I want to know why. Why is the form of catechumeno used in the Old Testament Septuagint to refer to a covering of cloth or fabric 84 times but not once to the hair? Why? If the catechumeno covering in 1 Corinthians 11 is the hair, why does it refer 84 times to an artificial covering in the Septuagint and 0 times to the hair? Again, how does long hair cover the head any more than my short hair does? It doesn't. Now, you mentioned all you believe is what verse 15 says, is that the hair is given for a covering. Yeah, but in verse 15, it doesn't talk about covering the head. The long hair covers more than just the head, but short hair covers the head just as much as long hair. In verse 5, it's talking about covering the head. Verse 15, it doesn't say that. There's a difference there. Why is the long hair the glory to the woman, verse 15, but the catechumeno covering is worn because the woman is the glory of the man? And if she does not wear it, she brings dishonor upon man. You see that? The parabolaion covering is to glorify the woman. The catechumeno covering glorifies the man. And if she doesn't wear it, it brings dishonor upon the man. That's the opposite of glory. Why didn't Paul just say in verses 5 through 6 and verse 13 that a woman ought to have long hair? Why did he go through all these shenanigans and rigmarole saying, you need to be covered when you pray or prophesy? And if you're not covered, that's just as bad as having short or shaved hair. If it's just a long hair, he's talking about the whole time. Why didn't he just say, like he did in verse 15, you need to have long hair? He wouldn't have needed to mention praying or prophesying. He wouldn't have needed to mention anything else. He could have just said, she needs to have long hair. Now, he did that in verse 15. It's long hair. The topic of verse 5 through 6 and verse 13. Why didn't he just say that? Yeah. Why did Paul say that a woman should be covered when she prays or prophesies when he really meant that she needed to be covered at all times? That's what Jeff believes. He believes that the covering, the only covering required in 1 Corinthians 11, long hair, she needs to be covered at all times. If that's so, why did Paul say she needs to do it when she prays or prophesies? I want to know that. Why would Paul say she needs to be covered when she prays or prophesies if he's just talking about the long hair? That's all the time. It just doesn't make any sense, Jeff. And audience, are you 100% sure that the long hair is the only covering required by the passage? Are you 100%? You say, time? Are you 100% sure? Because if you're not, wouldn't it be safer to also wear the veil when you pray? Yes, have long hair all the time. I believe in that. And then wear the veil when you pray, unless you're 100% sure.